Hi everyone, and welcome back to this week's episode of the podcast. As you know, this is a part two to a previous part one I did on this podcast with Ellen Griffith. So if you want to listen to that one first, get some background info, do that and click on episode six. Otherwise, keep listening to this one and yeah, peace. I had a person who literally I hated more than anything in, like, my entire life. He has been friend with one of my best friends who's a trans male, and he was in his transition in high school, like, during our class, mm-hmm. and changed his name and stuff, and he was, like, supposed to be his friend since they were two or whatever. I hated this guy so much for making fun of my friend who was transitioning and misgendered him in front of him to other people, called him his dead name, like, stuff like that. And then I came late. And I didn't have anywhere else to sit, so I had to sit next to him. He was like, so? And this was, like, I graduated in 2016, so it was, like, before the elections, like, had happened and stuff. So he was like, yeah, like, what do you think about the elections, Lena? Have you watched the debates? And I'm like, bitch, like, I was literally, I gave a stone face. I was like, I don't care. And I don't think maybe that had already happened, like, the whole thing. But I think I just didn't like him in general. And I was like, you just want to, like, it's kind of, Swedish people don't want to hear your opinion
about the politics. They just want to show you how smart they are.
Yeah, they just want to be like, oh, I read this one article on CNN that blah, 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 blah.
That was something that also...
And he's like, he's a Trump supporter, by the way, and I'm like, you're not allowed to vote, thank God.
No, but that was also something that shocked me and annoyed the hell out of me when I first came was that... And the thing is, I like politics, you know?
I like that's it too, why but we're don't just talk that's to me why, to that's vomit why we're your studying, opinion on
you know,
me.
You know, development studies. Like, that's a bit of politics and, like, political theory and et cetera.
But, yeah, but they talk to us because we're actually friends, not just because we're their token. I don't even know. Maybe we are their token. So they're not telling us.
I mean, Ignacio always sends me CIA memes.
Yeah, but he's also...
No, I know. I'm just playing.
But he also says, like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, just I'll dial it back. Like,
oh, he definitely does. When I say it's too much, I'm like, I need... No, but the fact that people always, and I, to be fair to Swedes, this also happened to me with a lot of other Europeans too, that they just always want to talk about it. And it's like, for me, that's exhausting because it's not just something I see on the news and I can turn off. It's that these policies actually affect the place where I grew up. They actually affect real people I know.
Yeah, from the family.
I mean, the thing is, like, I actually have a personal connection to this. So it's not just something that I can just have a lighthearted conversation about and then... you know, move on. It's like, I actually have a stake in this. I have a lot of stakes. I have a lot of friends, like, if we're talking about debt, a lot of friends in debt in college. Yeah. If we're talking about, like, Dreamers or deportation, I know friends that are illegal. I know friends that are on DACA that are scared. So it's not just something kind of frivolous for me. And then you nailed it on the head. It's not that they actually want to hear our opinion. It's that they want to tell us what they know about gerrymandering.
It's like, well, you don't have a voting right.
They want to show how much they know about gerrymandering or just the U.S. political system or, like, impress us with their knowledge. And for me, it's like, I'm not impressed because I don't care. I already know this.
No, it's like they think of it as, like, a chess game. And it's like, I know the chess pieces.
Like, yeah, kind of.
And I know it's not just a game
and
to me. It's
the,
like,
the worst conversation I ever had about this. It was actually with my first semester here. It was with these French guys. And they wanted to talk about school shootings, which is a very, very personal issue for me. Because at the time, my sisters were still in high school. So I still kind of honestly lived in fear that this could happen to them and I would be across the ocean. I wouldn't know about it. I had friends at universities. You know, they're not immune either. So I was worried about them. I was myself worried. I mean, I did shooter drills when I was in elementary school. We called them code red alerts. And it was, if a stranger entered the building, you're supposed to hide under your desk, hide under the teacher's desk, turn off all the lights, lock the door, you know, all this stuff. So it's something that I was very well acquainted with, was very, very sensitive. And these French dudes did not give a shit about anything I had to say. They just wanted to, like, mansplain, or, like, I came up with this term, eurosplain, because sometimes it's accurate, eurosplain the problem with Americans and guns. And I was just like,
it's like, I know. And also, like, I took American history and American politics, and my American politics class was literally only, this was recently in the spring term, it was only about constitutional law. And I was in the same class as, like soon-to-be lawyers, like, yeah. stuff like that. And it was just really hard to have, like, an emotional stake in everything. And obviously, like, my teacher was American. Like, he was nice. But shout out Mark Wiener.
It's the emotional stake because...
For some Swedish, like, lawyer just to tell you, just like, oh, but the Second Amendment, actually, like...
You're like, I know,
but the Second Amendment is fucking irrelevant in this case because it doesn't... Oh, my God.
No, but... And I actually started crying during this conversation. And one of my other friends had to go and comfort me because I was just like, you're not listening to anything I have to say. You don't even care about what I have to say. You just want to explain the problem to me. I'm not dumb. I know there's a problem. A lot of Americans know there's a problem. You know, it's a huge divide, and it is an issue that a lot of people are really actively working on. And when you don't listen to me or my opinion, and you just want to tell me what you know, I honestly feel like you're reducing not only my lived experience, but also all the people that are actually working to change the issue that know what's wrong. You know, and that's something
that
really
bothers me. It's
like,
oh my God, why don't you just change it? I'm like, do you know how hard the fucking Constitution of America is to change? It is the hardest constitution in the world to have any lasting, like, you cannot change it. Like, it's so hard. It's the oldest constitution. I think it's the first also democratic constitution, like, in the world. And obviously,
people just don't get it. And I will say the only person I've been able to have really good conversations with this about with is actually, a little ironically, my Russian friend. Because when she came to Sweden, she also just gets all these questions about Putin and what he's doing. And in her case, she has even less of a, like...
She's like, I don't know, man.
she has even less of an avenue to, like, get any sort of responsibility with politicians. Because obviously it's not a free country. And one thing that she always says is that people don't separate the government from the people.
Yeah.
And I do get that in a democracy, the people have power and stuff, but I think that you can still realize that there's a difference between the people, what the people want, what the people do, and what the government does. And here people just see the government and think that's everyone.
Yeah. That's what I don't like either. And it's not. Also, like, people, I think it's, like, something I really have a problem with, I think, in... It's like, obviously there's a two-party system and it's bound to just, like, make you go against people. But, like, I am registered as a Democrat, obviously, like, in the election.
I would hope you were a Democrat.
Yeah, duh. But it's like actually, even people who are Republicans and didn't vote or just voted for Trump because there wasn't, like, who else are they supposed to vote for? If, like, I can have respect for that Republicanism was so different, like, 10 years ago than what it is now.
Oh, yeah. And
so,
I mean,
I have family that are Republicans, but didn't know what the
fuck
to do.
I have family, my godparents, I know they're all Republicans. And I know that, even though I disagree with them, I know that I just talked to my godfather, and I don't know who he voted for. I don't think he voted for Trump, but I do know that he's extremely unhappy.
Yeah.
With everything that's happening. And I will say, even in my own family, my parents voted differently when I was really, really young. Or maybe even before I was born. But I know that my mom actually voted Republican because her family had voted. Yeah. Mm. He's a citizen. But I know my dad voted Democrat, I think, always. And I do know that my mom voted Republican for a short time. And then she just got so disillusioned with everything that she completely switched. Like, in the 2016 primary, my dad voted for Clinton and my mom actually voted for Bernie. So she went from Republican to, like, a Bernie stan.
Oh, my God. That's what Bernie does to you. That's what Swedish socialism does to you.
I think that's so funny. But
yeah.
No, yeah, but it's just that, like, you're just kind of like a political, I don't want to say goon per se, but you know, people just...
Who are like, hey, Ellen, oh my God, did you see the debate last night? It's like, no, I'm busy.
You're just like, it's just exhausting. It's like, it's the whole, you have an emotional stake. And also the fact that people don't actually care what you have to say or your experience. They just want to show you how much they know, how cultured they are. That's number one.
Or that they know know more than you to, like, prove that you're stupid.
Right, that's number one. And number two, I think, is honestly, like, I feel like the stereotypes sometimes are kind of laughable to people here. Like, oh, being loud or being friendly or...
I'm nice and have a personality.
Right, and I feel like they're not... And I guess maybe part of it was I was, you know, in the middle of Indiana. So half the people didn't even know where Sweden was, to be honest. So if you don't know where it is and you think it's like Switzerland, you have even less... you know, knowledge on what the culture is, even if you know where it is.
How was
you don't
the
know.
Culture shock for you though? Like,
Honestly, it was big, and I was surprised because I was like, this technically still is my culture, and I've been here, but the biggest shock to me was just that I think people are so closed here.
Yeah.
And this is something that you and I have talked a lot about, and you've kind of said that you've developed, like, not really a radar, but, you know, you meet someone, and you're like, all right, they're not gonna fuck with me, they're not gonna be open to me.
Yeah, but bye. that's just me, like, in general.
No, but I kind of think, whereas for me, I'm so used to just being open to everyone. Yeah. And here...
But usually in the States, too, you get some sort of response from being nice and open. Here, it's just God, like, yeah. Oh, fuck you, bye. Like,
people think it's kind of weird sometimes, I would say. Like,
and it's like...
And the thing for me that I've tried so hard to do is I feel like I keep trying to adapt to what people do here. And it's still too much. Like, when I first met people, I would be like, hi, my name's Ellen. It's so nice to meet you. Give them a huge hug. And
they were like, why are you touching me?
and people were like, what the fuck? I mean, they were genuinely confused. I was like, okay, so we don't do that.
So we don't do that.
But then maybe it would be like, the first time I'm like, hey, I'm Ellen, nice to meet you, handshake. The second time I give them a hug, still too much. So now, then I would do that, just the handshake, but still do like the excited voice. And now I've kind of toned it down so much so that it's like, hey, Ellen. Trevlit, and you do like one handshake.
Oh my god.
Right?
That's such a, like, I don't know, like a bitchy Swedish way to shake someone's hand.
But that's what everyone else does.
I know, so everyone does it, but I take offense to when people are like, Trevlit. I'm like, go fuck yourself. Like,
but to me, I'm like, I guess the hardest thing for me here is just trying to adapt to what I think people will expect of me in order to open up to me. If that makes any sense at all.
I understand.
Like, because I feel like in the U.S., I'm just like, I'm me. I'm just going to, you know, judge the situation and be friendly and be open. And, like, maybe you can't catch every fish, but you can still catch a lot. And here, I'm like, that just doesn't work. The fish will swim away from the net. Like, yeah. They... So
Swedes
I'm like...
Swedes are very, like, you know, growers, not showers. No, but it's like... After class, I mean, like, you take a little walk, or like, you first it starts with small talk, then like the next day you like walk together to your bikes, you know, if we're taking Uppsala, then it's like the day after that, like, maybe go get a kebab, you know, at lunch,
maybe
come
it's
back.
Like, you do three seminar and assignments, and finally you're kind of like, oh, maybe
after
we can
like
have
a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, or not even that, just like, oh, like, yeah, let's just like let's invite a bunch of people and have a beer now. I guess we're like friends now.
That's so crazy to me, because to me, I'm so used to being like, I put myself out there, I meet people. If we click, we click. And I guess, of course, to every extent, you become friends with the people that you spend time with. I'm not saying that in the U.S. I'm not friends with people in my class, because obviously I do get friends out of people in my class, because those are the people I see.
Yeah.
But there's just so much less effort involved, and I just feel like everyone's just more open. And one thing,
especially here, like, if it's not just a regular, or if it's not like a class where there's a lot of like multifaceted people with like a lot of
right, like development
cultures.
A, I felt everyone was pretty open.
Yeah,
but
if it's a very Swedish class of like a lot of Swedish people, it's usually just like a wall, especially if they're from Stockholm, aka where I'm from.
And that's so funny, because that was literally the first semester of my program.
I mean, both you and Paris experienced it.
Yeah, no, our friend Paris went into. He did economics in the spring term after development studies A. And the thing about Paris is we met like the first day or the second day, because we had to be seminar partners. We clicked immediately and we've been friends ever since. Like,
he's
we're both
half
open.
Cyprian and half Swedish, and he's amazing.
We're both open and like, you know, fun and happy. So we clicked immediately. I love doing seminars with him. But anyway, so he went to economy. Wow. And I went to my program, which was like social science program, roughly translated. And almost everyone was from Stockholm. I don't know why. That's just what they were.
And but also, then, wasn't that like a prestigious program, since there's so little people
get
in?
I guess it was, but I did not realize that.
Maybe that's why they
the
were
thing
like...
is, I have very good... My grades from the U.S. translated very well in Sweden. So I have a pretty good merit rating. So thank you, weighted grades that Swedes didn't know about.
Oh my god,
because I think they just went off like a 4.0. Well, what they did at my school was that if you took honors or AP classes, you get weighted, your GPA gets weighted. So I had like a 4.6 GPA.
That's insane.
And I mean, I think the highest with the weighted system is that you can get like a 5.0 is like perfect technically.
That's crazy.
I know, but so I have a 4.6. 4.0
was
Yeah, it is perfect. But then what they did when you get to high school is they start weighting the grades so that if you... Because their point is that if you take AP class... If you take all AP classes and all normal classes and you get A's in all the AP classes and the other person gets A's in all the normal classes, they're not exactly the same because the AP classes are harder. So, yeah. Like, if you take these harder classes, maybe your grades will get lower, and because it's harder, you need, like, an extra thing. I think it makes sense. But anyway, so I think they base it off a 4.0 system.
Nice.
So I have, like, a very, very high merit rating. Not saying I don't deserve it. Like, I still did work very hard in high school. It's not like I had absolute trash grades. But anyway, so if you catch me at Handels, I'm just kidding.
You're like, you know why. I'm like, dumbass Swedish admissions offices.
But maybe that was part of it, but everyone there was really closed, I would say. I kind of tried to sit next to new people every class, like, and meet someone. Everyone sat with the same people. Like, people clicked up so quickly. And, I mean, I would go out to some social things. I did a lot of, like, the Innsparks things. And I had, like, one kind of friend that was a little more open. And if she was there, like, I'd have a good time because people would talk to her. And then by extension, talk to me. If she wasn't there, everyone just talked to each other. And yeah. I was just always on
Did
the outside.
Did you feel, though, that, like, sometimes I just feel like Swedish people have, like, boxes that they tick for, like, another Swedish person? Like, I feel like a lot of people I meet or know, they, like, hang out with Swedish people that come from the same socioeconomic background as them. Or, like, dress the same as them, or, like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I definitely think so, and I think a lot of the people from Stockholm just hung out with the other people from Stockholm, from similar areas, from similar... I don't know, people really clicked up so quickly, and then, kind of like you said in, I think, the first episode of your podcast, once they clicked up, these were the only people they hung out with. They were the only people they hung out with at all the social activities. They all did pre-drinks together, and then once they're in their group,
it's very culty.
It seriously is so, and I've and the only other time I felt like this was when I was here in 7th grade.
Oh, that's not a fun time to be here. Not a fun time to be alive in general.
I know 7th grade wasn't probably the best in the US either, but oof. But, I mean, it was, like, Mean Girls, you know? And
dude, that was, like, the peak of my bullying experience. That's, like, when all the... It's, like, when you're 12 or, like, 13 and the hormones are going wild and you're meeting new people and you want to be, like, a popular bitch, because that's usually when people change schools for the first time, is when they're 12 or 13 here.
I was only there for a semester, so I also feel like people, especially because it takes so long for Swedes to become friends with anyone... It didn't seem like I was worth it if I was only going to be there 6 months and then leave, yeah. You know? But I, even when I felt a bit lonely in the US, I've never felt this sort of just like pure exclusion. I mean, it's like, it's
I love
just,
how we're just shitting on this experience.
No, but I mean, it's just, it's so silent treatments, like everything from just the body language, no one will engage you in the US, at least where I was from. And maybe if you go to NYC, it's different. I don't know. But, you know, even if you, maybe someone wasn't your favorite person or someone was kind of outside the group, someone will always engage them. Even if it's just, you know, fucking small talk and you kind of feel like, oh, this isn't even that authentic. At least it's something.
Yeah.
Whereas here, I mean, just nothing. Like, I went, the last time I went out in Uppsala with my program, I went to this event. It was kind of smaller. Everyone clicked up. And I just went to the bathroom like 5 times and I tried to kind of join conversations, but people were just backs turned to
me.
It's
really hard.
Like, I honestly just ended up going home and crying. Really? Took a really nice crying selfie though.
Wow, hot. I'm just kidding.
It looks like that Kim Kardashian one where she's like,
oh my god,
you know,
when she lost her diamond earring.
Yeah, it looks like that one because I had mascara on and everything. Kim, there's people dying.
Can we just, okay, I know this seems really negative for all the listeners, like whatever. Really happy though that I got my education here.
You're like, let me throw in some positives.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Just kidding. No, I'm still happy that I got my education here because I feel like it would have not been beneficial for my ADHD to have been in America, or continued
oh, no, that's
in
intense,
a high school
yeah.
where like it wasn't all the subjects that I was good at. If it was like all, if I still had to take a bunch of subjects that I was really bad at, I think I would just have a mental breakdown and just start working at like the Dairy Queen or something.
Man, or like a Dairy Cheesecake Queen Factory. Smacks. Love Dairy Queen.
I honestly don't know. Like, I would probably not even go to college. Like,
you could flip all the Blizzards upside down.
Oh my God. Yeah, so I'm just happy that I went to school here. But
no, and I, there definitely are positive things here. Like, I just...
Dude, one Sweden thing I think, is, like, one of the only countries who has, like, utbrenning, SSI burnout, as, like, a condition. So you can get a doctor's note and, like, get time off of work. Like, they're good very understanding. Keep that in mind.
well, and one health. Thing that's, I would say the best thing that's happened to me here was honestly that when things didn't feel so good, and that was mostly last semester when I wasn't seeing Lena as often or my other friends from development studies. No, it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't your fault. It was that we were in different classes. And I just didn't feel...
You were
feel...
still living in Stockholm, too. And
yeah, also, there. Important note. But it was also my first semester studying Swedish, so I was very stressed by that. I felt horrible about not really making friends with anyone in my class, and I felt very excluded. And I kind of was in, like, just a bit of a dark place, but because there is free healthcare here, I just went
therapy.
To... Yeah, no, I did. I went to the youth center, and I started talking to a therapist there, and she has been simply amazing. And she's really, really helped me. I've maybe gone to her, like, 4 or 5 times now.
Work.
But I think she's really, really helped me kind of like untangle these thoughts in my head and made me feel a I lot better about
Swedish
a lot of
people
stuff.
Made you go to therapy.
I know. Sweden, the first time I went, I remember I was kind of nervous because in the US there's such a like stigma against mental health, you know, and I should have maybe gone a month earlier, but I was so much like, no, I can fix this. Like,
only bitch asses go to therapy.
Kind of. I was like, I'm a neurotypical. Like, if I'm feeling bad, it's my own fault. I need to fix this. If I'm not making friends,
I
need to.
Why are you so woke? I love you so much.
No, but I was like, I need to fix this. I need to try harder. That was like my mentality for like most of that. So I was like, I need to try harder in school. I need to try harder with friends. If it's not working, it's my fault. I need to fix it.
Isn't that also like the American like grind? Like,
yeah,
culture?
No, for sure. And so when I finally was like, you know what, I'm trying all these healthy coping mechanisms, I'm crying when I need to, but then it got to be crying too much, I'm talking to my friends, my boyfriend, and I was like, I'm saying the same thing to them and nothing's helping. I was like, I think I need to see a professional. And I'm so grateful to the system that I was able to do that fairly easily and at no cost. And she has been honestly amazing. But anyway,
Pisces need outlets.
my point to this was when I first told my mom that I was going to therapy, I was kind of nervous. She was like,
I didn't raise no punk ass bitch.
No, but she was like, oh my God, are you talking about me? And I said, no, I'm talking about Sweden. And she's like, oh yeah, it's hard over there.
It's like, also if you think I'm talking about you, maybe you should like take some off.
Should I be? Let me dig through my subconscious a bit more.
It's like, are you feeling bad about something, mother?
Yeah, anything you want to say you fucked up or... No, I'm just kidding. But
by the way, we've been talking for 1 hour and 20
oh,
minutes.
Oh shit. Have fun editing this. But
like, what are your like concluding points? I'm sorry, we've just been blabbing, but honestly it's been fun.
It's just a deep conversation. Maybe I have to do like a part 1 and part 2.
Yeah, dun, dun, dun. Honestly.
No, but I guess maybe my concluding points are that I do think here it's a little hard to be different, and maybe part of that's in the history too, because for the most part it has been a pretty what was that word again?
Homogenous.
Thank you. A pretty homogenous place, whereas like the US has always been full of different people. So maybe people are a bit more used to it. And here I feel like it's only recently that's kind of my theory. I think it makes sense that, you know, different types of people have started to live in Sweden, and maybe traditional Swedes aren't as used to that. And my second thing is that, first of all, therapy always helps. And I think it's also
self-care.
I think it's also good to have friends that can, you know, have similar experiences to you. Like, I know just being friends with you, Lena, has really helped me a lot. And it has really, like, genuinely, it has really made me think, like, you know what? I should kind of, if I click with people, I'll click with people. And if I don't, like, that's okay. And that's kind of how it is here. Because you do come from a similar background where you know that maybe what we're more used to is people being more open and being open ourselves. And here, it's just not the same, and it's not good or bad, it's just different, you know?
Yeah. I think it's just really hard to make people take an interest. Like, no one really cares. Like, if, even in the States sometimes, I can feel like at least they ask questions. Or they're like, how's Sweden? What's it like there? Like, at least that's a question. No one ever asks, like,
and
oh, when did you move here? Or, like, who? Which one of your parents is this? Or, like, what do you... which one's the best country? Or someone's actually asked my... people actually ask me that quite a lot. But I think it's stupid to assume that America's the better country. Because people only see what they see from, like, high school movies. And, like, TV. And I'm like, that's not America. It's, like, literally...
It's so different.
And when people glorify it and they talk about, like... Sorry, off track. But, like, when people talk about LA, obviously that's 2 hours away from me. If you ever go to LA, LA is a fucking shithole of cement. Like, it is so dirty.
No, it's the place where dreams come true.
Are you sure?
I'm just kidding.
Like, it literally is so bad. Like, the Hollywood Boulevard, like, is not cute. It's trash. That's where homeless people sleep. Like, it's so weird to me. Like, I've never been on the East Coast, actually. Would like to go to New York. It looks less trash, but I think it's still a little bit, like,
I think it's... I mean, I've only been in New York City a couple times, but...
It's like you have to be important and have something to do there to be there. You have to have a purpose. It's kind of the same thing with LA, but LA is more trash.
Or you have to have a cheap dad that will give you a layover of 6 hours.
Yeah. Honestly.
Shout out to Papa. I'm just kidding. We're like, we want to go to NYC, and he's like, fine. And then he just gave us like 8 hour layovers so we could spend the day there.
But it's like, have you ever been to Miami Beach? Have you been to Orlando? It's cement. Half of America is cement and streets and freeways. And then partially a little bit of political tension and racial tension.
Partially.
That's, you know, that's the
That's another podcast episode.
Yeah, I swear to God. And then we were like, wow, you must come from like, oh my God, you from California? That's so crazy. Like, do you guys surf? It's like, have you ever been in the Pacific? It's ice cold. No, I do not surf.
Have you ever surfed though?
No. Oh. I've windsurfed, not surfed.
I surfed once. That shit is actually hard.
Dude, it is. You need core strength.
You really gotta have a lot of... But anyway, that's beside the point.
Sorry.
No, but I think... I don't know. I think it just takes getting used to. It's just a different culture. I do think it's fair to say that it's a bit more closed. I don't think I'm offending anyone or that that's wrong. I do think it is a bit more closed. It's just different. I mean, it's just, you know, how you make friends, how people socialize. And... I mean, that's just something that I'm still kind of coming to terms with, I would say.
I love that this is just us shitting on Sweden for like an hour and a half. no, I feel like the thing is, I like Sweden's like political system for the most part. I like the free healthcare. I like the free stuff. I like feeling that I'm taken care of.
It's not free. Someone's paying for it.
No, seriously.
I'm kidding.
No, but like that I feel safe. Like a lot of countries don't make you feel safe. I don't feel like our... like government is corrupt or like prone to corruption.
I will just touch on the safe part. That was one of my favorite things about being here, was especially because
I always feel taken care of and safe.
I never drank in the US, so I started drinking here, and just knowing that when I go out to a bar, I can order exactly what I want. I can point to it. There's a label. If I'm at Innistat, even if it's like a student pub, it still has to, you know, meet criteria. And then comparing that to my friends in the US who have started drinking, who are like, yeah, man, you're at a frat party, you take something in the red Solo cup, you don't really know what it is. Mm. You don't really know. I had a friend's roommate one time when I was visiting my friend at her dorm who came in. She's like, yeah, we're going to go out to this house, this frat house, but not the other one because the girl like just got roofied there. Like just kind of having that being like normal conversation, you know, Jesus was Christ. Just kind of appalling to me. And here I never have felt that I need to be as worried.
But even if you are like too drunk here, like there's always gonna be someone like taking care of you. And I don't want to make that like oh, there haven't been bad situations, not like that, but just
right,
like,
I mean, it's not safe for women everywhere, 100%. That's just the reality.
But like there will always be like police or ordningsvakter, or like there's always gonna be someone there if you have trouble.
I do feel
but
really
I think
safe
also
here,
there's a
nice.
Different there's obviously a different privilege than that, because we have a friend who's absolutely fucking terrified of like guards and stuff just because he's had bad experiences, and obviously he's not he's a person of color, so it's very different. But
and I will say, we could get into a whole nother topic on white privilege another day. But that was actually one thing that was really instrumental in me kind of understanding why I felt different here than in the U.S. And that was part of that, this white privilege in the U.S. and being this kind of European white, you know, really boosted me up. And then coming to Sweden, the US doesn't have the same kind of like elite, like cool status here as Sweden does in the US, because in the US being Swedish was like I touched upon before, it was special, it was unique. Those that knew about Sweden were like, oh, it's such a beautiful country, their political system is so woke, and they're, you know, such the most feminist nation in the world, and it was, everything was good. Like, yeah. Being Swedish was only seen as a good thing.
But coming here and being like, I'm from America.
you get a lot of negatives from that. Like, I never got any... The one maybe negative Sweden thing I got was that people would joke, like, you're a communist. But no one said that seriously. Like, that was just my friends fucking around with me, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas here, there are people that I do genuinely think they think that I'm dumb. Or that
you're, like, a red state hillbilly.
Right, bitch. Yeah, that I'm dumb, that I'm, like, extremely conservative, that I think, you know, gay marriage is wrong, I'm super religious because I'm from the Bible Belt, like... Just all this stuff that I'm just like, what? Like, just these stereotypes that they have that have been just placed on me just because I said I'm from the US. And some of them are less dangerous, like, you know, being loud or being friendly and people kind of laughing at that. Yeah. Or like dancing.
I just use it to my advantage and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm fun and you're not.
You know, dancing a certain way, or like when someone dances in the club and you're like, yes girl, get it, like, you know, people kind of laugh at that. That's
like,
one thing.
It's also like being interested in pop culture is looked down upon, and I hate that so much, because like, I'm sorry, I'm it's a woke ass bitch, I'm sorry that I'm still young having fun watching YouTube 5 hours a day, like I'm staying woke. I know the slang, I know the moves, I know everything.
Yeah, and so like, for sure there are those kind of stereotypes that are like, aren't that, they're not, they're more people, they're kind of like this novelty token, but the ones of Americans being dumb or like, you know, me having certain beliefs and stuff, I'm not
used
to that. It's
worse for you than it is for me.
I'm not used to that because I've never really encountered that before, and understanding that, like, wow, white privilege is a drug. I mean, you know, yeah. I was so used to being kind of elevated and then coming here and being kind of torn down a bit. It felt bad. It felt like people weren't just excluding me because maybe I was a little bit different. It was because just, you know, stuff I couldn't help.
Yeah.
And I just remember I would sit in some seminars and people would always be like, what's your perspective, Ellen? Like, I was like the token, I don't want to say minority, because I feel like that I'm still white, I'm still cis, I'm still straight. I know I'm extremely privileged. I'm not trying to like downplay anyone that actually is an oppressed minority. And I'm not saying I'm oppressed, but I did feel kind of like a minority in that I was the only one with a different opinion. And I always had to speak for how it was in America.
Yeah.
And I can't even do that. Like, I can maybe
no one even
speak
cared.
For Indiana.
Like, I was still like the same thing as you, as like, I was like the little token American person, but no one cared about my opinions. Same thing. They're just like, oh, you're dumb. Or like, oh, you're whatever the fuck. And it's like, Okay, thanks for not asking me and just assuming things about my culture and my country that aren't necessarily true.
And the thing is, like, it's, you're used to that. And I'm not saying it's a good thing, but you're used to that because you've been here longer.
Yeah.
But I was never used to that. I was actually used to the other thing where everyone cared about my opinion and everyone wanted to know about Sweden and my traditions and things there. And here that people just...
No, they just take stuff for granted, or they'll like read one thing on CNN and be like, oh, I know everything about America now.
But it was just a shock to me, and in some way I'm happy that I had that experience, because it kind of gets into this discussion of like, who's the most white, and in the but follow me here though. In the US I was like the whitest of the white, so I was special, but here I'm not white enough because I'm not, you know, from like woke Sweden. I'm actually from the US that has a lot of problems. And so then it's like, it's just it's kind of like the other side of the same coin. I don't know if that makes any sense, because obviously I still have white privilege in both countries. That's a universal truth. But it's like I have less here and then I get more negative things than I was used to. No one had ever said anything bad about, like, seriously.
Yeah.
Unless it was like a small joke, like communist or have fun getting invaded by Russia. But those were, that was my American military friend, by the way.
That's funny.
He's like, you're going to call the US since you're not in NATO when Russia invades. I was like, okay.
I mean, we still get, like, I don't know if you know about this, but the American embassy, when you're a Swedish citizen and you're an American citizen, but you live in Sweden, the American embassy will send you notices when there's demonstrations, like for political things, to tell Americans to not be in those spots in Stockholm during certain times, because
I've actually
people can
not
get attacked.
Heard that. I do remember when I was here, we used to come on the 4th of July And one time we went into Gamla Stan and they were protesting. This is under the Obama administration. It was a few years back. And they were protesting the Cuban embargo.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a little hilarious because at this point Obama had actually lifted the embargo to some extent. And my dad is like, it's a bunch of old hippies from the 60s. And he was kind of right. But it was weird because I'm just not used to getting that kind of negative reaction from somewhere that I'm from. Like in the US, yeah, people were negative to the US, but it was like, well, we all lived there, you know, but no one was negative to the country. No one is negative to the other country. I was from Sweden. Whereas like in Sweden, it's like, yeah, people are a little negative to Sweden, but it's like, I get it. We're Swedish. We live here. But then they're also negative to the US, which to me was kind of weird at first because I was like, what? Like, this is my country. Why are you not like, this is my country, not like that. But I just mean like, I was just like, this doesn't really involve you. Why are you, I'm just not used to getting that negative.
Yeah. Aspect. I think it's really hard too. Like my friends in California have definitely had to put up with my shit. And I've had to like, not school them, but like one of them has actually been to Sweden to visit me and stuff. And she's like, I love Sweden. I want to live here with you when I'm old or like stuff like that.
Aww.
And like, I have one friend now who's studying abroad in Italy and she's been to Europe several times because like she's privileged enough to, because we know all Americans can't travel. That's why I get upset when people say that Americans are dumb, because I'm like, well, they don't go anywhere. So because it doesn't.
The other thing is people don't realize that like, they for this country that claims to be like so good about geography, they don't actually realize how big the US actually is. It's easy as fuck to travel in Europe once you're in Europe.
Yeah, it's hard as shit.
It's hard, it's expensive, it takes a lot of time, you know. I mean, if you're in the US, it makes sense that you kind of stay there. Like, you just, I know lots of friends who've been to all over the US. They've been to lots of different states.
Yeah.
How is that any less valid than a Swede going to lots of different European countries? It's the same distance. Like, it's the same
area. Yeah, but area it's still, like, covered. Different cultures and being exposed to other people's opinions, other people's, like, lives.
I know, but it's just that, like, that kind of thing that you said, like, it's just not as accessible.
No, exactly. And then also you get, like, what, max 2 weeks vacation in the entire year? And then no one wants to take the 2 weeks at the same time because then you can risk getting fired. So that's fun. Anyway, so like my friends have had like the privilege of either had the privilege of knowing me. I'm just kidding.
Of course, me no, too. But
either they've been exposed to like the media I've been posting because I live in a different country, or they've been able to travel because they're privileged and have had the money. So the friend that I had, the first time she was in Europe, was the first time she came to visit me when she was 18. That was her graduation present. And that's like, period. Like, she's not going to come here anytime soon. So, of course, I'm going to come visit her. But I've had to school a lot of them on, like, how I think it's really important for Americans to know how other countries perceive their country.
I think so, too. But I think it's so hard to get that perspective. And I can definitely say, as someone who lived in the U.S. for 18 years, you know, grew up through several elections, etc. So much, it's hard to get that perspective because the thing is, when the U.S. has an election, it affects the U.S., but it also affects other countries in a way that few countries affect the United States. So it's so easy to just care about what concerns you because that's all you have to do. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's so easy to just focus on
the no, US I just mean, because, like, the public opinion. Like,
oh, okay, gotcha.
I just mean, like, you need to know.
But even so, though, up. It's so, like, if you live in Indiana, a state that's kind of in the middle, you know, Indianapolis is where I'm from. It's not a major city. It's not even a major city in the Midwest. It's, like, one of the lesser ones. Nice. I mean, it's still the best one, because, like, fuck Ohio. But anyway. But anyway. Chicago's cool, though. But anyway, you know, if you live in Indianapolis, you kind of just need to know what's going to happen there. And maybe, like, the general U.S. Why do you need to know what's going on? And this isn't an excuse to just stay in your own bubble. I just think it's convenient and
it works. Well, for a lot of Americans, that's how it like, life is. And I don't think other countries really have the same
understanding. I think very few countries have the same just ability to only be concerned with their own politics.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, even just in Europe, yeah, Sweden has to think about Sweden, but they also have to think about the EU in a way that, like, yeah, you have to think about your state. No, but also,
like, the thing with Americans is, like, there's a lot of, like, with, obviously, the free market and shit like that, there's a lot of, like, smaller family businesses or smaller businesses that go around from just like inside of the country, like, or in state, like, business endeavors. Like, it's not a lot of like, oh, this one like little farm in Indiana produces this amount of whatever the fuck product to export to France. Like,
right. I mean,
lot of it is like national, like investing nationally.
Right. I can say that Indiana's two exports are soybeans, number one, and corn is the second one. And that's nationally, obviously.
Yeah. So it's like, why would, you know what
I mean? Why would you need to, yeah, no, exactly. Why would you need to know about what's, like, why would you need to know the intricacies about what's going on in Canada or Mexico?
Because it doesn't affect your business or you. But it affects the country you're living in, obviously. But it's like, and I think a lot of it is also like, people like to say like, oh, Americans, like, dream big and like, follow your dreams and like, whatever. But it's, there's a very clear structure. It's like, go to college, get a job, get married, have a family, stay at your job, get retired, like, move to Florida. Like, that's
it. Move to Florida. The retirement belt.
No, seriously. So it's like,
what else? I think that's true. That was something that...
So people are very content. There's not a lot of people, I feel, are like, oh, I'm unhappy with my accounting job, so I'm just going to quit and do what I love. It's like very practical. Like, this is how you make money. This is how I take care of my children.
I definitely they need a college fund. A lot of pressure to go on the right track. And that was something that I was kind of nervous about because I graduated in 2017. Go class 2017. Just playing. NC. No, but, and I applied to Sweden the first time for the fall of 2017, and I actually didn't get in due to some technical difficulties that they didn't get my transcript was basically all it was. So they were like, you didn't graduate high school, you can't get in. And so I actually started working at a grocery store, which I'm happy because it made me woke to the problems of minimum wage in the United States.
Dude,
but anyway, sucks. And also food stamps. Like, food costs a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
I did not.
I was so surprised of how much fucking groceries cost in the States when I was gonna buy.
I had so many customers on food stamps, and I did used to, when I was younger, I would like to add, kind of have the mindset of like, oh, well, like, why do they need this kind of.
And then people like to ask, oh, why do you buy fast food over? It's like, because it's cheaper than buying groceries.
But I did kind of have that mindset. And again, when I was younger, you don't really actually get the, you know, nuances of the world and stuff. I was kind of like, oh, why should people even need food stamps? Like, it's about, you know, good money management.
By the way, we're breaking this into two parts because we're like, okay. An hour.
But once I actually worked in the grocery store and I could see, I could check people out with food stamps. I mean, they're getting like $200 grocery bills for 1 week. Like, I mean, it's not. But anyway, that's a whole nother thing. My point was I worked at the grocery store for a semester and then I got in the spring semester. And I just kind of took some classes to fuck around. I took, like, feminism in theater, which was a great class. Vikings, etc. And I got...
Vikings?
I did. It was from an archaeological perspective, so it was very boring. But anyway, I got nervous because all my friends had already started all their programs. It had a very straight path. And I was like, here I am fucking around for a year. And then I got to Sweden. And
why is that so bad, though? That's what I don't... That's one, like, con I think of, like...
It's not bad.
It's always, it's like, oh, I'm going on a sabbatical, and then every American in the world gasps.
Like, no, and that's something that shocked me when I came here, because here it's like, if you don't go on a sabbatical, people are like, what?
Dude, Kevin's 26, and we've been literally studying the same amount of time. Like, he's...
And that is, like, shocking, because at that point, it's so much, kind of like you said, like, you just go, you work. And I was scared when I took this whole year. I was like, man. And I'm honestly still a little nervous because I'm not totally sure if I have all the pieces for my bachelor's in place. And I'm thinking maybe I need an extra year. I don't know. And that scares me because I'm like, that's fine, I'm running out of time. I know, but it's just the mindset. You're just so used to.
You're also boom. You also graduated a year, like, before you were supposed to graduate.
That is true, but I didn't actually. But I started studying technically when I was 19.
Oh, yeah. Whatever.
But either way, like, I definitely agree with that. It's so much go, and just work, you know? I don't know.
I definitely think it's, like, I don't know. It just makes me so sad because I think it's so toxic. It's, like, my aunt, like, had a foot injury. Like, she, like, you're not allowed time off of work to heal. Like, or, like, you heal for, like, a week, and it's, like, that's a pretty... like, big surgery to have, and, like, you can fuck up your foot.
I'm just
for
thinking
life.
I knew so many like, peers, especially in the IB program, who would come to school just extremely sick because they were just like, I can't afford to miss a day, I feel like shit, I threw up this morning.
That's like a fucking safety hazard.
I know. And I was mad because I'm like, great, get me sick too then, bitch. But either way, my point was just this whole mindset of like, you can't get behind, you can't, you just gotta push forward, push through it.
Yeah, my mom was kind of similar.
Yeah, my mom is definitely a bit like that. My mom was like,
unless you're dying or have a fever, you're going to school.
I will say my mom did let me stay home maybe a bit, because when I would get really stressed, my stomach would hurt. And I was like, my stomach hurts. And then she would like let me stay home. So that was nice. So I very rarely forced myself to go to school. But I mean, the rest of the mindset of like work, I would say she definitely had. And I think that's maybe why even though this is a bit different, when I was having trouble in the spring, I was kind of nervous to see someone because I was like, I need to just push through this. I need to work through it. I'll get through it. And I'm actually so happy I didn't continue with that mindset. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to see someone.
And people shit on me for self-care. The fuck? Of course. Like, if you have, especially if you have, like, anxious tendencies and you have a tendency to push yourself that far, you really need to have, like, that boundary where you're, like, you just put it, like, you just have to quit doing what the fuck you're doing and just have a day to relax, like,
or have, like, an hour. I think that's so true. And I think it's one thing that I think that's been super good with my therapy is that my therapist has talked a lot about my feelings and, like, as she said, like, the last time that I had these feelings I felt were not okay to feel, and just kind of talking about what I do when I feel this feeling that I think is not okay. And then she's like, and actually it's good to feel that feeling. Like,
you're like, you're repressing it.
and the feeling I was repressing was actually anger. She was like, you're not being angry enough. Because she was like, because you're trying to please your parents and your Swedish family and just everyone around you, you're being sad, but you're not being angry enough. And when you're angry, that actually establishes, you know, independence and boundaries. And you're not doing that. Because every time you start to feel angry, you feel like you can't do that. And you start going into defense mechanisms. Maybe it's try harder. Maybe it's just waste time for like 6 hours playing a game because you're just trying to shut everything off. Maybe it's, you know, whatever. And she's like, you need to be angry. And just kind of saying, like, it's okay to take time for some of these feelings and it's good to feel them, I think has really helped me.
Oh my God, we stan. We love therapy. We love Swedish kind women.
She's so nice. She looks like that one girl from Recess. Oh my God. The nerdy one. She has, like, the same glasses.
Yes, Gretchen.
Yeah, I never watched the show, but I've seen a few. But yeah, no, she's super nice. She says, like, come in. And she's a really nice
voice. That's one thing I love. I love Swedish therapists.
I honestly was nervous because I was like, what if she's just as judgy as everyone else? They're so
lovely.
But she was, she's honestly great. Soothing
voices.
Anna, shout out.
Shout out.
Shout out to Anna. I made her banana muffins after like our third session because I was like, thank you for helping me.
Oh my God. What if she was like, I'm allergic to walnuts?
I didn't put walnuts in it. Thank goodness. So good. I was so nervous. I was like, I hope she's not vegan or anything.
Oh my God. Yeah, man. Like, I just...
Yeah, there's just so much to unpack with this being both. And just, I think, honestly, from both sides.
It's traumatic.
There's a lot from the American culture that is good and is bad. And I would say there's a lot from the Swedish culture that's good and is bad. And it's... I feel like we're just constantly wrestling with both.
Which,
you know,
one are we? Or like, which it's one do kind we belong
of, and that's the thing my therapist said the first time I went to see her. She's like, so you're having an identity crisis. She was like, you should read Barack Obama's book.
Oh my God.
No, but I think, and that's why I think it's so good that I'm seeing her while I've been having this crisis. And that's kind of why I came to Sweden in the first place. Who am I, you know? I was like, I know I'm American. I need to find out the other side.
But also, like, it's, you would have fucking hard. Other things is like good. Like, you would have never met Danny unless you came.
I know.
We stan.
He's so great.
I still think it's hilarious how you guys met.
Yeah?
It's like you study like completely opposite.
Oh my things. God, I know. We study like, and like, yeah, I'm not interested at all in what he's studying.
I mean, for me, sometimes it's different because Sam can help me with everything because we study right. The exact same things.
And like, I can tell it's kind of nice though because I think it helps us establish independence. Like, he talks to his physics friends. I talk to like you and our other political science friends about politics and like weird theory things and that we don't talk to each other about that, which is nice. Although, poor thing, he tried to explain his master's thesis to me like 5 times.
Poor thing.
And I still don't get it. He's like, let me try and explain
bless
it more.
Bless you, Sam.
Shout out to Sam, the only nice Swede.
He's been sitting here for like 2 hours listening to us. Yeah. I don't know. God bless. I don't know. Like, the thing is, also, like, we've date international people. Like, I don't know if you've felt like this before, but every person I've ever dated have to be at least good at English and, like, understand my culture. Or they've always had, like, some weird thing with them. Like, they're British or they're whatever.
Yeah, and...
Or, like, Sam went IB. He speaks perfect English.
Right. Like, yeah, that was from the UK when I first met him. No, yeah, definitely. And I actually think it's so perfect that I'm dating someone that's from Spain. Because then there's, like... Because even when I dated American dudes, like, I always felt like they didn't totally get me. No, but I mean, because obviously in high school I dated American... I felt like they didn't totally get me or, like, see all parts of me. But with Danny, I feel like he does. Because I feel like he can actually take a step back since he's from Spain and just see, like, everything. Whereas I feel like if I was dating a pure Swedish dude, he would only see the American side. And he wouldn't really get that I'm Swedish. Yeah. And that's, like, what happened to me when I dated American guys. Like, they only see the American side. And they, like, they know I'm Swedish, but they don't really see the full duality in a way that I feel like Danny really truly does. And, I mean, we speak English. He's learning Swedish. He's going to SFE. He has the cutest accent.
Cute. Oh, my God.
But, you know, just this kind of effort to kind of understand both and see both. And I think I'm able to do that because he is just from neither, you know? He's just from, he can actually see it from the outside instead of getting too caught up in one part.
Yeah.
Is my theory, at least.
I love that both of our boyfriends just listen to our traumatic events. And we're just like, hold me when I'm crying. They're like, okay, great. Like,
I know, sometimes when I'm super mad, I'm like, just so you know, I'm not teaching any of our children Swedish. And he's like, I guess I have to then. And I was like, ooh. Little children speaking Spanish, English, and Swedish with a Spanish accent.
You're gonna have a hard time. Oh my God. Ignacio.
Oh yeah. Man. Funny.
I don't know. I don't think this podcast was very relatable. But at least you know our side.
To vent.
We have endured hardship.
Well, to me it's relatable, so if all the listens come from me, I think it's a win.
I'm just happy that we met. Like, what the fuck.
I'm so happy too.
I would have literally gone my whole life without meeting a single half American half Swede that also, like, had the same, like, oh, my dad's Swedish.
Me too. I think it's great. And I also like that I feel like you're able to relate to a lot of, as we've talked for this whole, like, hour and a half or whatever this is.
Literally 2 hours.
2 hours. You know, but we're able to relate to a lot of the same kind of feelings of having these kind of negative stereotypes from one, maybe positive from the other side, being not enough of one or the other, or just... The hardest one for me is just the socialization, is I feel like I'm just never Swedish enough, like, I'll never get in to the group.
And that's why.
And that's hard.
You're moving to Spain.
Honestly, that's like my go-to. I'm like, catch me in Spain.
España.
Catch me in Barcelona. Yeah, I actually do think I will end up in Spain, though. Because they seem kind of open. And they have free healthcare. So, win-win.
Win. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Thank We're going to end it now so that my beautiful boyfriend can Doesn't watch Glee. We've been taking up the living room space for 2 hours. Oh my God.
That was the wrong melody.
Okay, now we're going to go do show choir. Peace.
Bye.